Thank you, Logan. Well, good morning, everyone. Glad that you're here this morning. For those that may be visiting, I'm not the full-time minister here. I'm just substituting today. But we're glad that you're here, and really appreciate the opportunity to come and speak, to be able to share from God's Word. Let's see, make sure here that the PowerPoint presentation is working. You know, Casey, my wife, she loves to do a lot of scrapbooking. In other words, she likes to take a lot of photographs and then put them together and put them in a book. And she writes the date and maybe what event that happened. Originally, when we first got married, I used to make fun of her. But the reality is, I really do appreciate it, and I really do like it. It's always nice to be able to go back and take a look at some of the previous photographs and reminisce and take a look at things. And of course, now she also does some video stuff, and that's really neat too. Should be on your left a picture of Spencer when he was first born, and on the right side is a picture of Lance. When he was first born. It's been almost 3.5 years now since Spencer was born, and almost 15 months since Lance was born. And as you can tell there, they're obviously very small in those pictures. And believe it or not, it's been almost 6 months now since we came back from Germany. We moved back here. And in that time period, this was just taken a couple weeks ago when we were visiting some other family. In that time period, though, Lance has really grown quite a bit. And perhaps you've noticed, too, that when we first showed up here, he was just crawling around. And now he's walking around. He didn't speak any words previously, but now he says, Mama. He says, Thank you. And, of course, he says, Uh-oh. And he's really grown, though, a lot in the last 6 months. And Spencer, the same way. Over the last 3 years, he's gone through a lot of those stages, and, of course, naturally a lot more. He likes to do a lot of things. He likes to build a lot of things. So he's really grown a lot, too. So it's really amazing how much they've really grown in that time period. You know, so now I guess the question that I have for you is take a look at your own life. You know, in the same time span, let's say, of the last 6 months, ask yourself a question. Have I been growing spiritually? You know, take a deep look inside your own life and ask that question. As Logan read this morning in the scripture, 1 Peter 2:2, it says, Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, growth is the goal of the Christian, and maturity is required. If Lance or Spencer had not grown over this past time period, we would have gone and seen the doctors because we have been very concerned. And in fact, with Lance, you know, he was supposed to grow out of his tear duct clogging up in his right eye, and it did not clear up. So naturally, we went to the doctor to try to take care of it. So the same can be said for a Christian. When you stop growing, something is wrong. So now ask yourself these 5 questions. How is your faith? How is your prayer life? How is your study of God's Word? And how is your Christian fellowship? How is your giving? If you are still the same Christian as you were 6 months ago, a year ago, or even 3.5 years ago, it would be wise to get a checkup. Of course, not a physical checkup, but a spiritual checkup. So this morning, let's take time for a spiritual checkup. So the title of the lesson this morning is, Are You Growing Spiritually? First, let's take a look at our mindset. You know, how is your faith? Is our faith an active faith or a dead faith? If you would, please turn to James chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. Beginning with verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. You know, the Bible makes a clear distinction between a living faith and a dead faith. James here brings up one point. You know, someone might say, but different men may choose to exhibit their religion in different ways. One may say, "I have faith," and another has deeds. We put those two together and we're both okay. And that's in James 2:18. And you know, in life, there are a lot of things that works really well. At work, you know, we divide up responsibilities. Someone does maybe one portion of a job and another person does another type of job. And even in our marriage, Casey and I in our marriage, you know, it takes a good team to be able to split up responsibilities, and that works really well. And even in the church, that works well. But we can't get lulled into thinking our faith is based completely on a team effort. We're each individually responsible. We both have to have faith and deeds. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." And in Hebrews 9:27, we're told, "Man is destined to die once, and after that face judgment." James lists another example of faith without deeds being useless, and that is if a brother is without clothes or daily food. Again, we can't overlook that responsibility. We need to provide for that person. You know, there is no proof that a man has faith at all unless some fruit is born of it in his or her life. There are many other examples of faith and deeds working together that's given throughout Scripture, and James gives a couple more that we read in both the situation with Abraham and Rahab. You know, sometimes we allow ourselves to be deceived into thinking that our faith is only limited to believing. When we do that, we stop growing. So now that we have the right mindset for faith, let's take a look at some good habits that we need to develop to help our faith grow. How is your prayer life? Romans 12:12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Well, what type of habits do we need to work on in our prayer life? Well, we pray to give thanks to God and to give praise to God. In the Lord's Prayer, given in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, you know, Jesus starts off that prayer by saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done." He starts off by giving honor and praise to God. Another thing that we should be praying for, developing habits in our prayer life, is pray for help against temptation, just as we sang about also in the song this morning. You know, Jesus, speaking to his disciples the night before he died on the cross for our sins, said in Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 through 41, "He returned to his disciples and found them sleeping and said, 'Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" We should also be praying for personal problems and also for those who may be sick around us. If we go back to James in chapter 5, verses 13 through 17, we're told, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." And we need to pray for people who need salvation. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray continually. In other words, God is always with you, so talk to him. You know, if I, in speaking with Spencer, if I only talked to him once every couple weeks, would you say that we had much of a relationship? Probably not. And he probably would be giving me a lot more strange looks than he already gives me if I only talked to him once every 2 weeks. He'd be saying, "Who are you and what are you talking to me for?" Now, a lot of times, if we really examine ourselves in our own prayer life to God, how do we treat God? Do we actually spend time to communicate with him, to develop a relationship with him? Do we give him the honor and praise that is due him? Do we also lay before him our needs, our struggles that we need help with? Do we pray for others? You know, that's another good indicator of maybe how our faith is and whether or not we're growing spiritually. Well, we've taken a look at prayer. Now let's take a look at our study of God's Word. Now, I learned a verse when I was very young, and this is when I was scared at night, lying in bed. I was probably about 4 or 5 years old, maybe a little younger, I don't know. But my mom taught me to memorize Psalm 119:11. It says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And that always gave me great comfort. You know, we need to be hiding and studying God's word and putting it in ourselves so that we're filled with wholesome stuff. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Don't just listen to the word, study it for yourself. How can you correctly handle the word of truth if you never study? This morning in our Bible study class, we were taught, or we looked at Matthew chapter 7, and I believe it's verse 21. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine," or I'm sorry, it's "not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." You know, if we don't study the word and learn what is going on, we may find that one day when judgment comes, we fall short and we didn't really know what we needed to do to be saved. So how has your study of the Bible grown this past year? Has it grown? If not, then maybe that's another reason your spiritual life has been stagnant and has not grown this year. So how is your Christian fellowship? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We come together not only for fellowship, but we come to worship God, sing praises to Him, pray and learn more about the Word of God. It's hard to believe when I got to thinking about it, but it's been almost 11 years ago that Casey and I, we used to go to football games all the time while we were attending Kansas State. She was an undergraduate, and I was a graduate student. And we even went to some of the away football games. And when we went to those away football games, naturally, since it wasn't our team that was the hometown team, we really felt kind of like outsiders most of the time because we didn't have the right colors on, we weren't cheering for the right team, And of course, sometimes people would make fun of you, maybe even give you some insults and stuff like that. But we still enjoyed it nonetheless. But to be honest, we enjoyed it that much more the next week when we were back at Kansas State Stadium and we were there cheering. And the reality is we got a lot of comfort and a lot more ease out of that, because that was our hometown place. That was our home stadium. I hope that Sunday is like that for us too here at church. You know, that should be the time where we get recharged and we encourage each other. In fact, that is really our home field advantage. A lot of times we're the visiting team when we're out in the world during the rest of the week. And so this is our chance as we meet together to have the home field advantage, and we should be comforted and encouraged when we come here. Now you're probably looking at me thinking, who are you to be saying that since you've been gone the last 3 or 4 weeks? But even when we were gone and visiting family for weddings and other stuff, Casey and I still took the time to find fellowship, and we visited other churches of Christ during the Sundays that we were there. We were in Alabama 1 week, and then the following Sunday we were at a Church of Christ in Indianapolis, Indiana. So make sure you take every opportunity to meet together, to worship God, praise God, and to get recharged up before you go out and be the visiting team out in the world during the week. So how is your giving? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." You know, money is an area where you can sometimes tell if people are growing spiritually and keeping God first. We just started with Spencer, now that he's 3 and a half, to give him little chores around the house. And the reason why we do that is when we were actually in Alabama a couple weeks ago at a store, he saw something he really wanted, and naturally he wanted money for it. And so we told him, well, you can start doing some chores around the house, and we'll give you a little money to be able to save and be able to buy that. And now that we've given him that responsibility, and yesterday we gave him a little bit of money, you know, the first thing we asked him is, okay, you know, you need to be giving some of that money back to the Lord. And we're very happy to say that he actually did decide to do that. But I'm still not sure he fully understands the concept of money yet, and we'll find out in the next few years more as we keep going on and he keeps growing. But sometimes also you see the inverse maybe with children. They want something really bad and they want it and they want money, money, money. But I guess my question for you is maybe as with children, sometimes you see a temper tantrum. As adults, I don't think we do that. But if you really investigate and look at your own life and look at your own spending habits, are you really like that too? Do you sometimes think about everything you need and you want, and then leave God second instead of first? You know, there's multiple reasons why God asks us to give money, or to be able to give back to Him some, a portion of what we make. But, you know, one reason that always pops up in my mind right away is yes, we give to God because that's what He asks for us to do. But also, it reminds us to keep God first. If we always think about keeping a portion first of what we get and giving that back to God, we're always thinking about Him and who it came from and who provided that for us. So how has your giving been going over the last year? Have you continued to increase your giving? Have you sowed generously? Or even better yet, have you been a cheerful giver? You know, giving also involves many other things. Giving can also involve our time, especially the time to share faith with others. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer To every man that asketh you for a reason of the hope that is within you, but do this with meekness and fear. And Romans chapter 12, verses 14 and 15 says, How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You know, what always comes to my mind is I remember in high school, I had a friend named Pete. And one day he came up to me, and this was before school as we were doing some homework for, I think, his physics class or chemistry class. And he had asked me, he said, you know, I go to Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I go to church. And named off some other activities. Is there anything more that I need to be doing? And I'm sad to say that unfortunately, at that time I kind of brushed it off and did not take the time to actually go ahead and share with him a little more. So I guess that's one thing I also would ask, is how is your giving of time? Are you taking the time to actually share your faith with others? To help them grow too. Well, this morning we ask 5 questions. Are you growing spiritually? How is your faith? How is your prayer life? How is your study of God's Word? How is your Christian fellowship? And how is your giving? Now, if you're a Christian, I ask you to investigate your life and evaluate whether you have been growing spiritually and maturing in your faith. You know, even non-Christians need to evaluate their spiritual growth. You know, there is a time when we all will die, as we read earlier, just as man is appointed once to die and after that to face judgment. You know, you need to come to a time or a point in time in your life where you make a decision. What are you going to do? Because just as Christians who have let their faith become dead and useless will perish, you too will perish unless you study the Word and come to God. We're told in Romans chapter 3, 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I think if we are all honest with ourselves, we all know that sometime in our lives we've done some things that are wrong. Romans chapter 6, 23 says, for the wages of sin or the payment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we're told, but God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. This morning, if you recognize that you need a Savior to make you spiritually well, you have an opportunity. An opportunity to be forgiven of your sins. You need to believe Jesus is the Son of God, repent and ask for forgiveness of sins, and then be baptized into Christ, and your sins can be forgiven. So at this time, the church would be more than happy to pray with you and encourage you. So please come forward as we stand and sing.